Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 682-831-9300, 682-831-9300, or go to their website at wct.us.com.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show as we get set to talk some Sooner football. And perhaps, if we have time, we will also perhaps go around the Big 12 Conference. It is always a pleasure when we get to visit with one of the very best in the business. He is the lead reporter for OU, ESPN, and the host of Total Sports, 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. James Hale, it's great to have you along this weekend.
It's always a pleasure, man. How are you and how's your family? Everything going well?
We're doing great. Of course, we just got off a wonderful vacation, a week spent in Pinehurst. So golf is definitely on my mind these days. We'll talk a little bit about Pinehurst here momentarily, but what were your thoughts about the U.S. captain, Corey Parvin, and denying that he told the Golf Channel reporter, Jim Gray, that Tiger Woods was on that team?
Well, Jim Gray is a really good reporter, and I'm in this business. I'm in the reporting business. And Jim Gray is a guy, one of these reporters, that if he said, this guy said this, I would believe him. So I have a hard time believing Jim Gray made something up. I have a hard time believing Jim Gray really didn't hear that. If I ever find out that that was really the case and he made it up or he didn't hear it, I will be incredibly disappointed. But he's one of the guys in our business that usually when he comes on with something, he thinks he's got something. He's running, you know, he's got a couple of sources. He's more or less an old-fashioned reporter. So what's interesting here, one of those two are lying big time. One of them is just lying out the gourd. And here you got a guy that's leading the Ryder Cup. Would he really lie about this? I mean, it'd be so easy to rectify. Oh yeah, I remember I kind of was in passing and said that. And hey, Jim, you know, now that I thought about it, you know, I didn't mean it that way. Or you know, there's a million ways to handle this. Or if Jim Gray really didn't have it and said that. And that's a tragedy. So I don't know which way to go on this. Neither way is really goody, and I find this is funny. You've got a golfer who's leading the Ryder Cup threatening a golf reporter, a guy that covers golf a bunch. I don't know if I'd pay to see that fight or not. I mean, there's other fights. I think, you know, maybe you against somebody, I would, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny, you know, when these two are threatening each other with bodily harm.
Well, Jim Gray definitely was fired up in the fact that he was thrusting his finger in Corey's face. I mean, he obviously was not willing to back down at all. And
I agree with you, E. I mean, he's not backing down, and we know Jim Gray, and you're sitting there going, okay, if Jim Gray's not going to back down from this, because sometimes as a reporter, maybe you double think. You know, you go back and check your notes. You go back and check your audio. There's a lot of ways we can back this up, and I don't know how he heard it. If he heard it in passing and he doesn't have anything on audio or anything, then it's a he said, she said thing, and what's the big deal anyway? I mean, if you're the captain of the Ryder Cup, you're probably going to take Tiger. I mean, so if you're not going to take him and you want to play it up and maybe you want to, you know, go some other direction, okay, fine. I'd still rather have Tiger on my team than anybody else because, hey, if he ever gets it together, he's, you know, the best in the world. I don't know. You know, I just think it's a funny thing. But Jim Gray was not backing down. You are correct. And because he was so adamant about it, as you know, we know Jim Gray. I've interviewed Jim Gray. I've talked to Jim Gray. I've seen him at basketball tournaments. I don't know Corey Pavin, but I can't imagine he's sitting there. He's not a guy that wants to lie about it. So I find this really interesting. And again, I'm not sure I would pay to see this fight. And this fight's probably better back in the locker room somewhere, you know, or, you know, I don't know if it'd be really a pretty fight. Of course, they both could be fifth-degree black belts for all I know.
Well, you know, the thing that comes to my mind is, how does this change the perception of Jim Gray as a journalist? I mean, is his credibility, is it completely shot? I mean, here he is going eye-to-eye, toe-to-toe with the U.S. captain, Corey Pavin.
Well, why is it shot? I mean, he's standing his ground. He's saying...
Well, I have to tell you, let me just share, in the Campbell household, my husband is very passionate about the game of golf, and he took the opposite side of me. I was like, Jim Gray would never come out and make this type of statement if it was had any inaccuracies. I mean, he would be completely journalistic about it. And it was funny, because my husband was just like, oh, well, why would Corey Pavin, why would he, you know, somehow, you know, say this and then retract it?
See, that's the mystifying thing. You have two important figures in their business, Jim Gray in the media, Corey Pavin in golf, and one of them is lying. I mean, one of them is just telling a flat-out lie, and he's now into it, and he's not going to back off on it. And I find this crazy over a subject like this. To me, this is easy to handle. Whoever screwed up or whoever said it, but just kind of wants to back off. I mean, if it's Jim Gray, hey, maybe I misheard you. I could have. That's a possibility. Sorry about that. You know, and then, you know, hey, and then if it's Corey Pavin, you know, I said that in passing. I didn't really think he'd take it seriously. Golly, I mean, I'm still a long way from doing this or that. You know, maybe you could do it that way. I don't know, E. I mean, to me, this could have easily been handled.
Both very, very defensive. I'm curious, you know, you've been a journalist for, what, over 30 years, James. Have you ever encountered anything like this? I know you are very, very, take a lot of pride in being very accurate in all your stories, but have you ever had to deal with a situation like this?
I'm proud to say it's always worked out to where I was able to prove what was said or how it was said. There's been a couple of times, too, you know, where... Well, there's just been a couple of instances where the person that I was reporting about got upset or angry. But I always call them, I always call them straight and say, let's talk this out, because I don't think I've done anything wrong. I think I've done it exactly like you wanted, or I think I've, you know, I've tried to do it in an honest and in a high journalistic way. And, you know, I have always gone out of my way to try to do that and that kind of thing. So, you know, no, I haven't really had any kind of incident like that where it's been in a public forum where I had to worry about it or anything, you know, so.
James Hale is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, you can check out all of his work, OUESPN. He is the lead reporter and 1400 KREF. And I was dialing you in the other day, and as I understand, we can now listen to you anywhere in the world. That's right on the smartphone, the iPhone.
Well, you can go, you can now go online at Sports Talk 1400 KREF. It's, yeah, Sports Talk 1400, theref.com. And there's an icon on there on the website. And you punch that icon, and you can go and you can push that icon. And if you have an iPhone, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world, even when you're at Pinehurst, chasing guys and things like that, you know, so.
I'm not sure about chasing guys, but I'm certainly chasing after my little boys.
This is what I meant.
There you go. But let's start talking some football here. Here we are. We're in the heart of Texas. We're in Fort Worth, and I know we've got a lot of OU fans down here. Talk to us about how much anticipation and optimism is going on right there in Norman, Oklahoma, as we look forward to the kickoff September 4th.
Well, you know, the Sooners, they're having a great camp, E, and they really believe they're a pretty good football team. I think there's a lot of optimism. You know, Bob Stoops is going through the car wash today at ESPN. He's never done that before. Where, you know, here they are in training camp, so he takes a morning and just goes to ESPN and goes to every show. I think they're really optimistic. I think they went through a lot of adversity last year, and they survived. In other words, they finished 8-5. They went to a bowl. They finished with two wins. Then they looked at the roster, and all those guys are coming back. Sure, they lost some key guys. Gerald McCoy was a tremendous player and leader. They didn't get to play with Sam last year, but, boy, he was really, really good. Jermaine Gresham, they didn't get to play with him, but, boy, he was really, really good. Trent Williams, they did get to play with him, and they'll miss him. You know, but all those other offensive linemen are back, so all of a sudden they've got a bunch of guys that played some football last year. Their tight ends are back, and they're bigger, 250, 265 pounds. They've got some reinforcements in freshmen like Trey Millard and Austin Haywood and some of those guys that are coming in that have proven to be good players and guys that are really good. You know, or they think they're going to play. They're optimistic about some freshmen that have come in. This was a great recruiting class. They felt they had gone out and signed. Well, Tony Jefferson may start at the nickelback and maybe at the strong safety, but he's going to play a bunch. Kenny Stills is liable to be a starting wide receiver, and he's going to play a bunch. Austin Haywood is going to be in the tight end mix. Trey Miller has a great chance to be the starting fullback. Aaron Colvin has really been a sensation in camp so far, and he's in the two deep at the cornerback spot. Adam Shedd is a 330-pound flat belly offensive lineman. They're just getting so big, E. I mean, you know, Eric Mincik tells me he gains 30 pounds, and he looked like a 250-pound guy to me. It's a big unit. They've got some promising freshmen, and Landry Jones took over the leadership of this team in the summer, and he was tremendous in the summer, and he's really become a guy that they believe is going to lead them to some great things.
And you certainly spend a lot of time around these guys. James, talk about, you mentioned the optimism as they look forward to, and all the guys that are returning. How hungry are they?
Well, I think they're as hungry as they've been in a long time. A lot of people feel like this camp is very reminiscent to 2000. Now, sometimes that's a wishful thing, you know. You're hoping it's as good as 2000, you know. But this camp has been good. The returning guys had a great summer. Travis Lewis became a leader on the defensive side. Austin Box was a leader over there. Quentin Carter became a leader, a senior safety on the defensive side. Jonathan Nelson, who's really a valuable player. And then a couple of guys emerged. Price Macon has never played at OU, and it's been a disappointment. In fact, a lot of times I'd get questions about Price Macon over the last 2 years, and I'd go, I don't know, they never talk about him. And, you know, this past spring, he was maybe their best defensive end. And then, you got a guy like Jonathan Nelson, who about in the fifth game last year became a starter, and all of a sudden he's one of their best players. Now he can play corner, now he can play safety. And then you return Ryan Broyles, who was such a playmaker for you last year.
Oh, yeah.
And he's healthy. DeMarco Murray's at 208 pounds. He's as healthy as when he came into the program as a freshman and was so exciting. He wants to return kicks again. When he was returning kicks, he was the number one kick returner in the country. So you got one of the top 10 punt returners in Broyles, and you have one of the top 10 kick returners in Murray, and that's pretty salty.
Well, it was interesting, too, you know, when Bob Stoops was on Mike and Mike in the Morning, he talked about so much optimism, Landry Jones, the maturity of him and the progression of him, but also that you can't underestimate the O-line, that they are going to be significantly improved this year.
Well, I think they feel like it's going to be better because, you know, all those guys return. I mean, Stephen Good played last year. Ben Haburn played last year. Tyler Evans played last year. And in the last two games, they got out and dominated the last two games. And, you know, they were good against Oklahoma State. They were good against Stanford. They actually created holes. They actually got out and did some things and were positive in how they did things. So you turn those guys, and then the excitement about Donald Stevenson at offensive tackle. They think he's going to be their next great offensive lineman. Then Jarvis Jones, who they think is a pro, is back at the right tackle spot. You know, so those things are positive. They moved in Eric Mincik, who the last two games blocked and actually scored as high as any offensive lineman they had. He's now 294 pounds or 296, something like that. He's a real offensive lineman now. Last year he's 260, and as Kevin Wilson likes to say, you know, he could have eaten a few more biscuits. Kevin's an old offensive lineman. You know, he was saying that they had to make sure that they get Mincik and they get Eichert big enough. Eichert's now 294 pounds. And I think that is really something that's, you know, really impressive. Those two guys are athletic. They're former tight ends. They come in with all these other offensive linemen. They think Hayward's going to be an All-American someday. Stephen Good's made some preseason polls. And they think they have pro players in Donald Stevenson, and Jarvis Jones that can play outside. So they look at this group and they see a lot of these guys down the road maybe playing in the league. Then they get a young guy like Adam Shedd coming in. And man, they think he's just a bulldozer. So they're pretty optimistic about the offensive line. Now, you know, when we try to predict what's going to happen in the offensive line, to me it's the hardest position to do because you just don't know who's really special and who's not. It takes more than just having size or being bigger. In the defensive line, you can usually tell in one practice who's good. I mean, we knew Tommy Harris was good after one practice. We knew Gerald was good after a practice or two. I mean, you know, Dusty Dvorak, that's pretty, Dan Cody, pretty easy to see. You know, I mean, some guys are good, then you just wait for their maturation and they grow up. That's not always easy in the offensive line, and sometimes those guys get thrown in there just because they're bigger than everybody else. and they have to play that way.
Well, I'm curious, can you expound some more on Ben Haburn? Of course, we follow his career very closely right here, just out of Fort Worth, Argyle, Texas, 6'3", 288, and had the injury last year. How is he doing and how is he progressing? You're saying that the staff thinks that perhaps he might be an All-American someday.
They love the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid is, I mean, he started some, he battled through back problems, came back and played, and he got better as the season went along. Now he's at 290 pounds. He's put on the right weight. He's a leader. He's intelligent, and he doesn't lose many battles. Let's face it, he's going against the Adrian Taylors and people like that and the Gerald McCoys. And hey, there were times that, you know, McCoy ate his lunch last year, and he just kept coming back for more. And he didn't come back for more in a crazy way. It was an intelligent way. Okay, he beat me on this move. I'm going to shut down this move. And I had Gerald on before he went to camp, and I asked him about Ben Haburn. And he said, you know, he goes, the thing I'm proud about him about, he goes, by the time we got towards the end of the year, he had picked up what I was doing, and it was so much tougher to get stuff on him and move by him. That means the guy's thinking. Now, he doesn't have to block Gerald McCoy in a game, but every day in practice he did. So in his own mind, he says, I'm going to quit losing in practice. That's how competitive he is, and I'm going to figure out what this guy's doing. And that really caught Gerald's eye, that this guy picked up things even against his own teammates. So he knows that if he watches film or he's in a game, he'll be thinking along with everybody else. He thinks he's going to be a great one, too.
We are talking Sooner football with your source, James Hale, OU ESPN, and 1400 KREF right there in Norman, Oklahoma. It's interesting, as you've been talking about some of the things offensively, defensively, talk a little bit about as far as DeMarco Murray. As I understand, he's lost a lot of weight. He's trimmed down a bit coming into this season. He wants to stay injury-free, continue to stay injury-free. What's the forecast for him?
Man, right now everything's great. It couldn't be better for DeMarco. 208 pounds, team leader, faster than he's been in a while. He's bigger, stronger. He's primed to have his best year. He's 1,400 yards from being like the sixth best rusher in OU history. If he has a 2,000-yard total offense year, he could be number two in that category. You know, they're expecting big things from him. He's had weird injuries. So when people say he's injury prone, well, I guess it's almost like he's had, you know, he needs to change rabbit feet or something. he's got bad luck, if anything. I mean, his injuries are weird, man.
Yeah, he had a hamstring, turf toe, dislocated a kneecap.
He's reaching up on a hands team, and he comes down, and he dislocates his knee just because he lands awkward. He's returned kickoffs all year. He's number one in the country. First kick of the game against Missouri, Big 12 championship game, runs up. He gets rolled up in such a way. Scott Anderson, the trainer, says you would never see an injury like that in a million times. Not one time, not five times, a million. So DeMarco just dials up the one in the million odds? I just think that's crazy. So he's battled back from turf toe, and he learned how to play with that. This year he's just healthy, and, you know, and they got a plan how to try to keep him healthy. They're going to scrimmage him, and they're going to do some things, you know. But, you know, he just looks like he's primed to have a great year.
And I understand, too, James, that he had changed his approach as far as even with his diet. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, DeMarco's been interesting. We've probably worried about his weight more than Miss America worries about hers. We've asked him every year what he weighs and what's he going to weigh and, you know, what's his philosophy. You know, after his freshman year, everybody said, well, he's a good running back, but he doesn't run between the tackles. He's not a tough runner. Now, an Oklahoma runner has to be able to run through the tackles, and he doesn't do it. DeMarco heard all that stuff. So he became a 214, 216, 218-pound back. And yeah, he ran through people. Wasn't quite as fast, wasn't quite as shifty, wasn't quite as flashy, and didn't have the wow factor. But he ran through people, then he decides to come back at this weight at 208 because he feels he's as strong as he's ever been, and this is the best weight for him. I think we've worried about DeMarco a lot, and I don't think we have to. I think he is what he is. I think he's pretty darn good.
He is very darn good, and you mentioned wow factor. Let's talk about the guy that does have that wow factor. That is the Oklahoma's quarterback, Landry Jones. Let's hear a little bit about as far as his progression over the summer. We had you back on in the month of June. You talked about how he's really emerging as a leader. Can you share some of those stories with us?
Well, you know, Landry Jones is good, really, really good. I find it interesting that people don't seem to believe that he's as good as he really is. Do you realize with all those injuries last year and everything that they had going last year, he had the third best year for a quarterback in college football history? That's with changes in the offensive line. That's with 68 drops at receiver. That's with a receiver core that was never the same. And yet, that young man performed pretty well. And he progressed and got better. For some reason, he and the offense didn't fire on the road. Well, by the end of the year, they did pretty well on the road. In the bowl game, they looked like they were playing at home. He's just a pretty good player, and I think people sometimes forget how good that he really is.
And he certainly has a 1-2 punch with Ryan Broyles, your guy from Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, and Ryan, I think, is a Heisman Trophy possibility. I know he doesn't get that kind of play sometimes, but I really think that he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. Just do the math. If he has over 200 yards total offense every game, and he's the wow factor, and he's on ESPN, and everybody's talking about him on ESPN, and everybody is, he's the touchdown maker on ESPN, then, you know, he's going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate. Now, Landry Jones could end up being that guy. But if Oklahoma plays up to their expectations, they'll be that good.
Okay, quickly, before we wrap up this interview, talk a little bit about the schedule. Very ambitious. They've got to take advantage of it from the start. I mean, I know it's Utah State, but you look down the schedule, it's not going to get any easier.
Well, it's an ambitious schedule, but it's an Oklahoma schedule. They always have marquee games on their schedule. This one's a little more ambitious because Cincinnati's turned out to be good and Florida State's coming to town, and Oklahoma respects Florida State. It's a program that, you know, they played in the national championship game, and they just know it's good every year, and they certainly respect Air Force. And then all the, you know, in the conference games, kind of their big games are on the road, you know, and Missouri's on the road, Texas A&M's on the road, Oklahoma State's on the road, Texas is in the Cotton Bowl. So if they come through that schedule and they're undefeated, they deserve to play in the national championship game.
Outstanding. We'll keep our eye on it. James, always doing a great job. Thank you so much, and I look forward to catching up with you here in a few weeks, okay?
All right. Well, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. And, take care of yourself.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson, Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum, and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.